The majority of the world's not interested. So it's a blessing to know a few people that are. And I thank the Lord for you. And we'll go ahead and get back into 1 John. It's been a few weeks since we've been back in here, and we're still in chapter 1. And we're down in we'll be in mainly probably verse number 6 and 7. But we'll start the reading in verse number 5. So 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. It says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." So what a blessing. I underlined in my Bible that word, all sin. I'm thankful for the promise that I can be cleansed of all sin. And, you know, a lot of people get caught up, and I have at times in my life of thinking, man, I can't get victory over this, or can't get victory over this, or I don't feel forgiven for this, or all those things. But aren't you thankful that, man, it don't matter what you feel like, that his word is true. Yes, and the Bible still says, let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. And that includes me. And so when I try to tell myself that God didn't forgive me, guess what?
Yep.
If I confessed it and I reached out to him, Brother Jesse, you know what I can just trust? It's gone.
That's right.
And I'm thankful for that this morning. And so what we've been dealing with here is the illumination of the Word of God. And so what we found in verse number 5 is there's something that we must all consider. And that fact was that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. There's no one else that you can say is light. Now, we are to be lights, but we understand that all our light comes from one source. And it comes from the Lord Jesus. If we're going to have any light, it comes from him. And so you're to be the light of the world. But if you get any light, it comes through God.
That's right.
So we need to consider and know that God is light. He's the very source of it. And there is no darkness in him. And then we got into verse number 6. And we got something to consider in verse 5. But we find a contradiction in verse number 6. And this is where we'll probably spend the biggest portion of our time today, is because I feel like, I don't just feel like, I know that in the life, in the time that we live in, we have a bunch of contradictory Christians. And we started this last week, and we looked at a couple passages. We looked at 1 Peter chapter 2, how that we've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light, and thank the Lord that we've obtained mercy, and we should be thankful for it. And we also looked at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. What communion hath light with darkness?
That's right.
And, you know, the Bible teaches over and over. We're going to look at several more passages today. But as children of God, we cannot straddle the fence. And we live in a day today of a lot of fence straddling. And I'm afraid even more so than that, most people have nearly got their whole body over on the side of the world. And they've got a pinky finger stuck back over on God's side. And they think, Brother Nathaniel, that they can live 6 days a week for the world. And that they're okay because they name the name of Christ. But the Bible is very clear that if you name the name of Christ,
yes,
you should what? Depart from iniquity. And so there's to be a clear difference, a distinction, and that'll lead us into where we're going here. James 4:4 says this. He said, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God."
Right.
So I think that's real clear that we cannot straddle the fence. Dustin, I can't go out and drink and party and live it up all the rest of the time and come in here and say that I'm a friend of God, Doug.
Right.
It does not work.
Hey.
And I can deceive myself, as we'll see here later. I can deceive myself all I want to, and you can deceive yourself into thinking that you're okay and that your fellowship with the Lord is right. But if you're out through all the rest of the time living it up for the world, your fellowship is not there. It's non-existent. You can fool yourself, and we'll read that. You can deceive yourself into thinking that you're okay. And the sad part is many of us here sitting on these church pews do the same thing on a daily basis. Now, we may not be out in the world living it up, all those things, but Nathaniel, oftentimes we deceive ourselves into thinking, well, I've read a few verses today. I've prayed today. I'm okay with God. But that's not what God desires. My wife says all the time, and I use her as an example, honey. I'm not trying to hurt you. But she says we can't just be checking off the boxes. You can't do things out of guilt. And how often do we live our Christian life?
Yes, sir.
And we get up and we read our Bible because we feel guilty if we don't. And amen, I hope you feel guilty if you don't. But that ought not to be our motivation.
That's right.
Paul said he was constrained by his love.
Yes.
The love of Christ constraineth me. What he was saying is that he had such an understanding of God's love for him through the Lord Jesus that it motivated him, John, to live the way that he lived. That's why he was okay counting everything he had but dung for the glory of Christ, because he loved God that much. But he loved him because God first loved him. We love him because he first loved us. And so the Bible is very plain that friendship with the world is enmity with God. That means that you are at odds against God. If you're a friend of the world, you are basically declaring war with God. You're an enemy. You can't serve two masters.
Right.
You'll love the one, the Bible says, and you'll hate the other. It does not work. And, that's obviously the life of the sinners all the time. But the problem is when it gets in the lives of the saints, and we try to befriend God on certain days, and then other days, and in other crowds, maybe we try to befriend the world. And we bounce back and forth. And I can say these things because I've been there. And if you've been in this thing for very long, there's been, at some point in your life, you've been that way too. You thought, Lord, it'll be okay this time. It'll be okay in this scenario. As long as I've done this, I can still do this. You know, you fill in those blanks how you want to.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about.
You're right.
And the truth is, as children of God, we are called out of darkness. And so what that means is sometimes there has to be some severing done in our lives. We have to remove some things out of our lives in order to fully be where God wants us to be. And I've done that a few times, and it's not easy, Eric. Things that maybe God's pinpointed in my life and said, you need to fix this. If you want to have fellowship with me, you've got to correct this. And then there's that battle, that war going on, because Nathaniel, there's things that our flesh wants and things that we have continually filled our flesh with that all of a sudden, as we grow in the Spirit of God, in the grace and knowledge of the truth, He illuminates us through the light of His Word to things that we've never seen before.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, we have a decision to make, Adam. Before, it was an ignorance. You understand that there's a sanctification process.
Yes,
and that in the lives of believers, what happens is there's things that when you're born again that you're ignorant of. I'll give you some examples. Like a man with long hair, he may come in and get saved. Dad, it works, don't it? He might be ignorant of that when he first gets saved. But it don't take him real long, Kevin, to understand. Yeah. God starts opening his eyes and he looks around at all the saints of God. And the Holy Ghost starts doing something down on the inside and says, you need to get that cut. That's just an example. It may be beer. It may be fornication. He may be shacking up with somebody. Whatever that may be. Any of those sins, once a believer gets saved, what happens is God starts, he does some things immediately. But then it may be 5 years. It may be 10 years down the road that God pinpoints something else in their life. Maybe something they've loved for years. Jesse, it could be coon hunting for you. I'm just saying. It could be deer hunting for me. Nathaniel, it could be fishing. It could be racing. I don't know what you like to do.
Go ahead.
It might be Facebook for you. It probably should be Facebook for all of us, just to be honest. But you know if you can use those things and it'd be okay, or if you can't. That's between you and the Lord. And it'd probably do us all good to shut our smartphones off and throw them in the garbage. I'm going to get on that just for a second because I can preach at me for a minute. How much time do we spend in one of them things? God help us. And you can say, just like I can, I've got my Bible on there. But if you look at your apps and you determine how much time you've put in that Bible app compared to your YouTube app or to your Facebook app, folks, I'm saying oh me right here. Oh me. My wife can vouch for it. Oh me. We have discussions regular with each other. Hey, can you put that down? Can you put that down? Let's not have that here. We have to do that. We have to keep each other in check. And I don't like it. I don't like it when my wife has to put me in check. But the truth is, what the devil's doing is, Jesse, he's trying to creep in some darkness. Where God's shining all kinds of light. And he's made us so dependent on those things that honestly, most of us don't know how to live our lives without them. But 50 years ago, every life was lived without them. And I don't know why I'm here, but I'm here and it's okay. Folks, I'm just saying, we need to be careful. Matthew 5:16 is still true. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven, which is in heaven. And if we're too busy in our, whatever your thing is, hunting, fishing, cell phoning, whatever it is, Instagram, TikTok, X, I think it's X now, right? All those things, used to be Twitter. Snapchat, whatever it may be. It's all the above. You know what it's doing? It's getting a lot of saints of God in trouble.
Yes, yes, yes.
What it is, the Lord is trying to call you out of a lot of those things, and the devil just keeps laying traps after traps after traps. And man, we just get, brother, you remember when Caleb Lindsay opened that coat and showed us? Man, I'll never forget that message. And if you were here, you've not forgotten it either, if you was paying any attention. Man, he had all them traps gone. And then when he pulled that coat off and he turned around, he was still yet caught in the trap. And the rest of everybody had no idea. A lot of saints of God here this morning are caught in a trap. They're living and allowing some darkness in their life where God is trying to shine some light. And I don't know what it is for Brother Delmer, and I don't know what it is for Brother Matt, but I know what it is for me. And the truth of the matter is, you know what it is for you. And the problem is, a lot of us are too rebellious to lay it down and give it to God. But we can't have friendship of the world and have still fellowship with God. It don't work. Just don't work. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. There's a lot of know ye nots in the New Testament. And they're good if you ever want to look at them. Every one of them. Every one of them. He said, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Verse 17 says, if any man defile the temple, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. You understand that as a child of God, as a believer, the Holy Ghost takes his abode up on the inside. And the Bible says that we are bought with a price. We're not our own. And we're to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which are God's. And yet, we continually defile our temples. And we've got to be very careful what we do with this temple that is not ours. And the Bible still does say that God will destroy.
Amen.
The Bible still says, I think it's Hebrews maybe 10:31, that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. That ought to still ring true to every believer that sits right here. Because we are going to be in His hands. We are in His hands. But there's going to be a day that we stand before Him in judgment. Amen. We're going to stand before Him in judgment one day. And we're going to have to give an account.
You're right.
And it ought to make every one of us fearful of the things that we do right now in this life. Because I'm going to give an account for those things, Adam. I'm going to have to stand before God, Adam, and tell Him why I didn't have a testimony before this person. Why did I ruin my testimony here? I could have had something for God, but yet I don't. Maybe because of this right here. Maybe because I chose to be a friend of the world at the wrong time and not a friend of God. I don't know. But be careful what you do in your temple. You cannot be living in light and still be in living in darkness.
Right.
They don't dwell in the same places. And the good thing is that a mark, I believe, of a true believer, over time, I believe a true believer will continually come to the light. I believe they'll continue. And if they refuse to, I believe God will take them out of this world. I think the book of 1 John will teach us that. If you want to look over there in chapter 5, Lord willing, we'll get there eventually. But a true believer that has the Holy Ghost living on the inside should desire fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible's plain. If we use this scripture a lot in this church, and it needs to be, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Here's another, know ye not. And there happens to be five of them in this chapter. Verse 9, it says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous. Nor covetous.
Yep.
That's in that list.
Yes, sir.
Nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. What that's saying, if that is your lifestyle, if this is what you are, there's no inheritance for you in heaven.
Right.
You can say I'm saved, you can say I'm born again all you want, but if this is the lifestyle that you choose to live, that is evidence that you're not making it. I mean, that's just what the Bible says, and I'll take the Bible over anybody's testimony. It says, but here's the blessing. And such were some of you. So I'm thankful that even though every one of us in this building fit into this category at some point in our life, that if you've been born again, there was a time that God changed you. Not saying that any of these things will never appear in your life. But when they do appear, you know what God does?
That's right.
You come out of there. You can't stay there.
Yep.
Why?
Yep.
You'll be miserable. Miserable life. Living a lifestyle like that and trying to serve God is misery. Misery. It does not work. So he said, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified. That means he set you apart, set you aside for his purpose, but ye are justified. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So I'm thankful that even though that was many of our lifestyles, he's changed us. That's not who we are anymore. And I'm thankful that he didn't quit the day we were born again, Adam. But he's continued to change us. and mold us. And jump on down to verse 15, another, know ye not? Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Here's another one. Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. I hope that's not involved in anybody here. But verse 17 says this, but he that, this is a good contrast, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit.
Yep.
Folks, if you want to be joined to somebody, you need to be joined to the Lord. Don't be out here fornicating.
Hey.
Harlots. Folks, this is what Scripture says.
Amen.
This is not popular.
That's what it says.
But if you're out doing those things, you know what you're doing? You're joining up, you're yoking up with something you don't need to be yoked up with.
Yes. True.
That's not who we're to be joined up with. He says, you join up with the Lord. If you join with the Lord, you're one spirit. I like to be in one spirit with Him, don't you?
Yeah.
I like my spirit to be yoked up with His spirit and it to all be right. Verse 18, flee fornication.
Right.
And if you don't know what that is, that means any sexual activity, any immorality with somebody besides your spouse. If they're not a spouse, nope, no good.
Right.
It's still wrong.
Yep.
It's still wrong.
Amen.
And he says, flee it. That means run away from it. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. In other words, he says it has effect on other things. No man live, we say this all the time, no man live to himself, no man die to himself. What you do affects others. And that's what he's saying right here. It's outside of your body. You cannot sin and it just be against you. You're usually sinning against somebody else. You're affecting somebody else. But notice what he says right here. He says, every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication, not just sinneth outside the body, but he said, you are committing sin against your own body. So you're but the thing is, when you're doing that, you're taking something that is not even your own and you're defiling somebody else's property. And that's what he says. What? Another, know ye not in verse 19. Know ye not that your body... See, he's comparing and contrasting as he goes through this. He says, you are doing this against your own body. But then he turns right around, Kevin, and says, do you not know it's not your own body?
That's right.
Verse 19, what? Know ye not that your body is the what? Temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own.
Right. Yep.
Folks, if we live our lives with the mentality that I am not my own, I do not belong to myself anymore, he bought me with a very high price.
Yeah.
And because of that, I need to lay everything that I am down and take everything that He is and wholly, wholly go after Him. Now, I can say all this stuff, Nathaniel, but in my own life, that's hard. This is not easy living. It's easy for me to stand up here and say, Jesse, and in fact, it excites me to say it because that's who I want to be.
Right.
And every believer ought to have a desire, man, to go after God in this way. Verse 20 says, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit. But here's the thing, which are God's. You're still in possession of them. But guess who they belong to ultimately? They're God's. You, if you're born again, you do not belong to yourself. That means your desires are not first.
Right.
Whose desires should be first? The owner. The one who owns you. The one who bought you. It should be his choice what he does with his property.
Right.
And yet we find ourselves misusing the property of God. And that hits every one of us, I'm afraid. Ephesians chapter 5 addresses it too. Ephesians 5 verse 3, this whole chapter is wonderful. And Ephesians 5 verse 3 says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once, not once, named among you as becometh saints. He said, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, notice this, covetous man who is an idolater. In other words, if you covet, you're making something your idol. That's what he's teaching us there. Who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God? Let no man deceive you with vain words. He said, don't let somebody come in and tell you it's okay to live those lifestyles and that everything can still be okay between you and God. I'm not saying you'll lose your salvation. That won't happen. But what I'm saying is, if you live these lives, you never had it to begin with. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Folks, I know from Romans 5:19, 1 Thessalonians, I think 5:19, I'm not appointed under wrath. This is not talking about a child of God here. It's talking about the children of disobedience. Be ye not therefore partakers with them. Verse 8 goes on, for you were sometimes, this sounds real familiar, don't it? For you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You know what that word means? Call them what they are. If you see that it's a dark work, if it's something dark in your life, if it's something dark in your children's lives, whatever, you know what you're supposed to do? Call it like it is. Don't try to cover it up. Don't try to sugarcoat it. Call it what it is. And he says, and have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather approve them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. In other words, those things that people hide in their lives, that's because they're shameful, Nathaniel. But all things that are reproved, you notice this. So he tells them to reprove those things. He goes on, Brother Cliff, and he says, but all things that are reproved are done what? Made manifest by the light. So what you're doing, Nathaniel, when you love somebody so much, the Bible still does say that faithful are the wounds of a friend. Yes. And so if you go to a friend, a brother or sister in Christ, and you go to them in love, and you tell them that what they're doing is wrong, and you reprove that. Now, you do it in the right manner. You know, that's always to be the right spirit, right? Always. If it's done in the right spirit, you know what you've done? You've shined a light for them. That's what he says right here in the Scripture. He says, those things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. So, Dustin, what we're doing is our job in shining a light for somebody that may not know otherwise. And if you can't do it in love, you just don't do it. Okay? Don't go out there and just start accusing people. I'm talking about somebody who I can treat, say, like my child. I can pull them up close and say, honey, I know you don't know this, but when you do this, you're causing a problem here. You're hurting somebody, and this is why it's wrong. And I'm not doing this to cause you problems or to hurt you. I'm doing this because I love you, and I want to see you do well.
Yes.
That's the spirit that you have to go about doing these things with. You got to love people. Adam, we got to love people. And if you can't do it out of love, I'm going to say this over and over. Do not do this.
Right.
If you can't do it in love. There's some people that can't. Just don't. Okay?
Amen.
Just don't. Worry about yourself. But those of us that have children, you know what our job is? When we see the works of darkness in their life, it is our responsibility. When you reprove those works, what are you doing? You're shining that light for them. And we ought to be doing that. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. And I don't know about you, but I want to be light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then, you could just go on in this chapter all the way, but see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Here's another one, verse 18. And be not drunk with wine.
Yep.
Stay away from it. I hope that nobody in this church has to be told that, but just don't. Don't do it. It's wrong. Everybody here knows that it's wrong. Stay out of it. Our pastors preached about it, taught about it. Stay away from it. So don't be drunk with wine where it is excess. Focus on being filled with the Spirit. That's what we need. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That ought to be our desire. We can't do those things walking in darkness, living for the devil. We can't do it. So, man alive, where are we at on time? All right, good. I got 5 minutes? All right. Well, I really don't like, I honestly do not like this. I don't like having to say these things. But it's still the Bible. Jerry, I wouldn't hurt you. I wouldn't hurt nobody here for anything. I mean that with all my heart. And Kevin, I've talked to him about, I hate saying some of these things for fear that I'm going to hurt somebody. But I'm accountable to God.
Yes.
And I'm going to say what this book says, even if it hurts me, and it does. It hurts, and I hope you all know that. And I hope that anything that I say, I can always say in the right spirit.
Yes.
And I do what I do here out of love for this church and you folks, and most of all for the love of the Lord. I want to honor Him. And I hope that I never hurt anybody in that manner. But if it hurts because of the word's sake, then it'll just have to hurt.
Right.
And it won't hurt if you'll get it fixed. It'll help. But Romans chapter number 5, down in verse 19, to lead us on into chapter 6, it says, For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. So what the apostle's teaching us is that the law was given. The Bible says that the law was given by Moses. That came from God to show mankind their failures and their shortcomings. It was the moral standard. And despite what the world tells you, outside of God's standard, there is no standard. He is our standard. And people say they don't have to have the Bible to have morals. Well, I don't know where they come from then. Anyway, but moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. So the law was the schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. What it did was shine a light for us, in a sense. It reproved the deeds that we did naturally. And God said, this is what you should be doing. And because of that, there's a light shine that says, your deeds are made manifest that they're dark. And so He shined a light for us. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, thankfully, grace did much more abound. And so the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And so that's where that grace comes from. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. And I wanted to read all that to get into chapter 6 because Paul is continuing that conversation. He says, what shall we say then? So He's brought us out of that law. We're brought into grace. Grace has been abounded toward us and through the life and the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. We've received His grace, John. So Paul says, it's that good, but what shall we say then to these things? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?
Yes.
So what he's saying, because grace has so far trumped that sin that reigned in our bodies,
Does that mean that, Brother Cliff, we can go out and live in sin any longer? Can we do that? I like his answer, don't you? God forbid.
Yes.
How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? You understand that I'll read it rather than let the Bible say it. It says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? That means we were identified, we were immersed in Christ. And because of that, we were immersed into his death. That's what that word baptism means. We were immersed in his death. Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. That's the expectation of a believer. And for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is what? Freed from sin. Don't let anybody tell you that you have to sin. We're freed from it, Joe. We don't live like we are. But Nathaniel, he's made us free. And so we can live. Nobody, I don't know anybody that lives a sinless life. And 1 John already tells us if we say we have no sin, we're lying. But the truth is, if we sin, it's not his fault. We don't have to, Brother Kim. We don't have to sin. But we choose to. We choose to. And so he's called us out of that. We've died out to it, and we ought to live just like he does in newness of life. And we'll wrap up with this, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature.
Yes.
Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. But then he goes on down in verse 21. He says, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we should be what? Made the righteousness of God in him. So if he's put the righteousness of God down on the inside, don't you imagine that that should be what comes out of us, Jerry? Our lives ought to depict what he's done down on the in the deep for us, down on the inside. So I appreciate everybody's good attention, and Lord willing, I'll move on next week. But folks, that stuff's needful, and I need it, and you need it, and that's why God put it in the Bible, was that we'd understand. No matter what we think, we can't get by with it, Jerry. We're not our own. Appreciate everybody's good attention. We'll have prayer for anybody that wants to pray down the hallway in one of those rooms.